My name is Barb, and I'm a Grateful Al-Anon member. Okay, that's better. I'm surprised you can't hear my heart hammering from here. Okay, I said all the first stuff. I'm really nervous. I've never done this kind of thing before. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I teach part-time at the junior college back home, and it's a small town, but we seem to have lost 5,000 people since Joanne. There's actually only 15,000 people, but it's all right. And I was saying to Joanne, the nice thing about speaking to college students is they don't know what I'm supposed to say, see? And that tells you right there that sometimes I have an insecurity about saying the right things at the right time, and hopefully you won't know the right things to say either, so we'll all get through this together. When Joanne first called me and I said I would pray about doing this, I did. I set up little goals for myself, and I thought, now the next time I talk to her, if there was a name in there, then I guess I'm supposed to do it. So this is real progress for me, because 5 years ago I no more would have thought of doing this than jumping off a bungee board, which I still don't think I would do. Let me see. Actually, it's funny, too, that here we are at the IDAA. This is my fourth IDAA, I think. Yeah, fourth. And I was kind of interested to hear the topic of gratitude. When I first was going to speak, I was hoping it would have been on anger. That's always a fun one. And the reason I like that is my very first experience with IDAA was my husband was in treatment in Milwaukee and had been for a couple months. And we'd been talking on the phone, and he had told me some of the things he'd been doing. He was getting some counseling and playing some basketball and making some new friends and taking a ceramics course and doing a lot of interesting things that were good for him at the time. And I was at home with a five-month-old baby and a five-year-old child and kind of trying to maintain normalcy. And then he told me that they wanted him to go to this convention. So in my mind, first he goes to camp, and now they give him a vacation. I didn't understand it, so I did have some resentments to work out about that for a while. But he went, and I think he did well, and then I went the following year, and I have really felt a closeness with the IDAA. I go to home group Al-Anon, and I really enjoy that too, but there's a real specialness I feel about all you people. And I can't tell you how many of you I take home with me. I mean, I think of women that I saw in groups last year for maybe, you know, just the minor time that I was with them, and suddenly the following November they would jump into my mind, and I would think of something they said. And everything that you give, there's some validity to it, and there's some reason you're supposed to be saying it. And I just want you to know that I personally have thought many times of things that I've heard around the tables, and I'm really grateful. Grateful. that's saying a lot right there. I first got into Al-Anon, and I'm extremely grateful I found this organization. I don't know where I would be without it. I had nowhere else to go. That's why I went to Al-Anon. I was desperate, and I didn't know what else to do with myself. I had left my husband for a brief period of time. We had just moved to this small town of Dixon, and I was miserable. And I tried to blame it on everything else, and it was everybody else, but I never looked to myself. It was me. And I had contributed as much to this alcoholism problem as I blamed my husband for. We had an extremely rough time moving to Dixon. I felt isolated. I had no friends. I had left a job. I had left family. All the supports that I'd ever had were gone. We had an extremely bad weekend that the details are unnecessary, but I left. I took our five-year-old son and I left. While I was gone, I stayed with a friend of mine in Chicago and I managed to get counseling. Now, I firmly believe that God had his hand in this because I was lost. I was just putting one foot in front of the other because I didn't know what else to do. And the reason I left in the first place was just survival instinct. I was afraid. And I didn't know what would happen if I stayed there anymore. So I left, and I went to this counselor blindly. And one of the first things he said to me after we spoke briefly was, "It's okay, Barb. Your husband is an alcoholic." And it was like, I don't know what else this man said to me because my mind was totally blank at that. And I just kept going over in my mind, "He is an alcoholic." I had myself convinced that I was insane. I thought I was crazy. And, of course, my husband kind of went along and played along with this for me. Yeah, you are crazy. And it was so nice to hear a person that I would respect in a counselor role tell me, "You're not nuts. There is a problem in your family, but you aren't crazy." And he told me to go to Al-Anon. Well, the first Al-Anon meeting I went to, I went in late. Gosh, what a surprise. Actually, I was hanging around outside for a while because I was too afraid to go in. I didn't know any of those people. What were they going to say? And then what if they thought it was me? And So I went in, and the only thing I caught at the end was the prayer when everybody was holding hands, and I thought, oh, God, it's a cult. And then so I got past that part, and then the next meeting I went to, the next two meetings, all I did was cry. And people kept coming up and handing me phone numbers because every time I tried to speak, I would just burst into tears. And I think the thing that amazed me was the love and unconditional acceptance that was in that, you know, those rooms. And I found that in every Al-Anon meeting I've been to. It doesn't matter if you sit there and cry the whole time. They love you and accept you for what you are regardless. Everybody has had that pain. And I was finally able to move past that and speak at some point, and it did get a little bit better. But I'm grateful for the fact that I was able to find this organization. I have to tell you, too, denial was another big part of my disease, and I'm sure I'm alone in this, right? And I have a real funny joke to tell you. This was actually, it was shared at what I consider to be a mini Al-Anon meeting around a pool last year. And this may help you, and it sort of illustrates my own denial about the disease process. There was a rabbi, a priest, and a woman who was married to an alcoholic, and they were all in hell. And the rabbi turned to the priest and said, they're shoveling coal and they're sweating bullets and saying, the rabbi said, well, how did you get here, Father? And he said, I had a little problem with this celibacy thing. And they're still shoveling coal and they're sweating and it's so hot. And the priest turns to the rabbi and said, how did you get here? And he said, well, I'm Orthodox and I had this problem with pork. And they're still shoveling and sweating. And they both turn to this woman and one says to her, well, what are you doing here? And she said, it's not hot and I'm not here. So Joanne has since told me she's going to cross-stitch that somewhere, and I think that would be very appropriate. Anyway, so that starts to tell you about my level of denial and some of the things I had to break through. I'm extremely grateful for the 12 steps, and that's really been a framework. We talked the other day, Michelle was talking about the framework for our house, and that's the 12 steps, and I have learned that's really the foundation that we build our lives on. And every time you fall down those steps, you know, you have the steps that are below it to catch you, kind of a de-icer thing. And I've learned, and I'm really grateful for that, too. I was concerned because I wanted to give the perfect talk on gratitude, and I realized that that's impossible. And I'm grateful for that, too. I wasn't sure either if I should just give you a list of all the things I'm grateful for, because my list is not necessarily your list, but I think one of the most important things that I've learned is to be grateful for the things that I don't like. It's easy to be grateful for the good things. You know, if you're healthy, wealthy, you have a nice home or whatever, it's fairly easy to be grateful for those. It's harder for me personally to be grateful for the things I didn't like so much. I didn't like the kind of person that I'd become. I didn't like the way I acted. I just didn't like myself in general. And I didn't like being married to an alcoholic. And I can honestly say now I'm grateful for all the things I happened, because I am the person I am because of what I've been through and where I came from. And I've learned to embrace my mistakes, because making mistakes means you're human and you can learn. And that's really important. The biggest thing I'm grateful for is I've learned how to be alone. Somebody was talking about meditation this morning and how difficult it is sometimes to be by yourself. I've learned to appreciate those moments alone. And I've also discovered the fact that we are never really alone. That was one of my biggest fears, you know, that I would be alone in this world, my husband would leave me, my family would leave me, and nobody. I guess being alone to me meant being unloved. And I guess that's maybe our basest fear. And I've discovered that God is always with us. In a way, I'm a labor and delivery room nurse too, in addition to teaching. And I kind of relate life to being sort of like labor. And the men in the audience just have to wing it on this one, okay? You know, no matter who tells you about labor or having, you know, here you are pregnant, and everyone has a delivery story about what it's going to be like and how many hours they were in labor and what the experience was like for them, that labor is yours and yours alone. And I think that's what life is like, too, that each one of us individually has been given this life, and no matter what anybody says about what their experience was, you can learn from it, you can remember it, your path is your own. And I'm really comfortable with that now, the fact that In a meeting one time, one of the sponsors told me that when you have a sick couple in alcoholism, they form the letter A, and they're leaning on each other all the time. They're so connected, they can't hardly get ahead. And as you get healthier, you become an H. And each has their own path, but they're connected in the center. And I found that to be very helpful, too. I had a really moving experience, and it's not like an out-of-body experience or anything scary, but 2.5 years ago, I was pregnant with our third child. And I think I've really discovered something that this really illustrated for me, the fact that we're not alone. I was in labor, and I was 3 weeks before I was due. And I had started bleeding. And to make a long story short, I started hemorrhaging. And they were racing me down the hall. In fact, one of the last things I remember was my husband, the emergency room doctor, who came over and was taking my pulse and said, her pulse is down to about 40. Could we get another IV started? And at the time, I couldn't respond. I couldn't hear. You know, all I could do was hear them. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't look at anybody. And I have never felt so powerless in my entire life. And yet, with the powerlessness, of course, I'm kind of a smart aleck. As they were wheeling me down the hall, my first thought was, I can see it in the paper. Doctor's wife moons the entire OB ward because they were just racing me down the hall. But the other thing I thought of was I felt a tremendous inner peace that somebody else was going to have to take care of this for me, and it was God. I thought to myself, thanks for everything that you've given me, and it's in your hands. And I have never felt such peace in my life. There was nothing I could do. And as it turns out, everything was fine. I had a beautiful 8-pound, 10-ounce baby boy, and we both made it through. But I'm very comforted by the fact that I have never felt since then such a sense of that we are never alone, you know. Physically, maybe, but spiritually, no. And let me think, what else did I want to say? Because of this, I appreciate life so much more, and I'm grateful for what I've been given. I always tell my children to just do your best, and I try to take my own advice. Sometimes it doesn't seem very good, but I am doing my best. As I said, too, I think it's easy to have a program when you don't have any problems and you don't really need that program. Gratitude is an attitude of being grateful. And I'm grateful I'm recovering. I'm grateful for my family, my husband, my children, my friends, especially the friends I've made through these Al-Anon groups. And I'm glad I have eyes to see, all the usual things, ears to hear, a mouth to speak. And I also love the slogans. Slogans really help me get through. Some of them Al-Anon approved, some not so approved, I'm sure. One of my favorites is progress, not perfection. I have a tendency to be a little difficult on myself. Somebody in a group the other day said their husband had bought a pin, and I love this. Said, the service is dependent upon my mood and your attitude. And I thought that was kind of interesting, too. Another thing I heard a speaker say that I will just share with you that really helps me is faith. The letters in faith, if you take them apart, F-A-I-T-H, stand for Father, always in thy hands. And that's really helped me through a lot of things. When I've been afraid or lonely or angry or any of those things that seem to overwhelm me. And I'm glad I heard that. And I also have a cow on my refrigerator. So if none of the other Al-Anon slogans really send you, this is one I enjoy. There's a cow with its foot in the bucket. And it says, some days you step in it, some days you don't. Thank you.